Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Out west, the Warriors sitting pretty. One win away from returning to the NBA Finals for the sixth time in eight seasons after seizing a 3-0 series lead over the Mavs in the West Finals. Teams to take a 3-0 series lead have an all-time series record of 146-0. The Warriors continue to dominate in the third. Golden State led by Steph Curry's 31-point effort. Curry has already scored 30-plus points seven times this postseason. Michael Jordan and LeBron James are the only players with that many 30-point games in a single postseason at age 34 or older. MJ and LeBron both won finals MVPs in the season they did this. JJ back here with us. The Warriors, are they still looking like clear front runners, Stephen?
I wouldn't use the word clear, but they're front runners as far as I'm concerned, because I think that when you look at the Boston Celtics, there's a level of inconsistency. That's about it. When I look at the Warriors, I think about experience. I think about shooting. I think about, you know, the way they share the selflessness, the way they share the basketball, et cetera, et cetera. And I just, I mean, right now, don't get me wrong, the Boston Celtics have made me nervous, very, very nervous, because when they amp up their defensive pressure, I mean, they are something to behold. And we know what they can do offensively when they get rolling. So, obviously, if this ends up being the Warriors versus the Celtics, I think it would be an incredible NBA Finals to look forward to. But right now, as nervous as I can be about it, I'm still holding on to the Warriors being that team to beat in the NBA.
Yeah, I have no problem with them being the front runners for the championship, either through Vegas or through prognosticators. Yeah. I have no issue with that. I get it. But I look at each individual matchup in the playoffs, because matchups matter so much in the playoffs. And when I think about what the Warriors have done to the Mavericks, they've exposed that they don't have any rim protection. They've attacked Luka relentlessly, using his man as a screener. They're scoring about 1.16 points per possession on that. That's basically league equivalent of a top five offense in the NBA. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the two teams left in the Eastern Conference, the Heat and the Celtics, those problems that the Mavs have, they don't have those problems. They have rim protection. Both those teams inherently switch most of the stuff. Now, the Warriors on-ball switching is different, or their movement is different. So switching off-ball is different than switching on-ball, but they're used to switching. There's also, on both those teams, really no guys you can really target, specifically with the Celtics as well. Pritchard, obviously, in game one against the Heat, was targeted in the fourth quarter by Jimmy Butler a number of times. But in their normal closing lineup, assuming they are healthy, there's no guys that you can just target as the guy being used as a screener. So I think about Bam. I think about Al Horford. You know, the wing defenders of the Celtics, the wing defenders of the Heat. Like, these are tough matchups. These are tough matchups for the Warriors. Whoever it is that comes out of the East is going to give them a great series. And I also think the teams in the East are a little more battle-tested this season. Obviously, the Warriors, their core group is very battle-tested. They are champions, mm-hmm. through and through. They are champions. But specifically with what Boston has had to go through, and if they do end up beating the Miami Heat, having to beat Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, having to beat Giannis and the Bucks, having to now beat this Heat team that's basically a mirror image of them, I just think it's going to be a very interesting and tough finals for the Warriors. And they're more than capable of winning, but I, in my eyes, they're not the front runner. They are not the front runner. They have a chance to win this championship, but I think the team in the East is a tough matchup for them.
I think that if the Warriors ended up meeting the Celtics in the finals, it's a pick 'em series. That's how deep I think this goes, because of how Boston plays defense. And what I saw Boston do against them in that second game at Golden State in the regular season, albeit it was the regular season, I still pay attention to that. But also, I would say this to you. I don't consider Miami and Boston a mirror image of one another. I want to be very, very clear about that. I think that when you look at Boston with the trifecta that is Brown, Tatum, and Smart, I think it's a little bit different in Miami because I think there's a precipitous drop off from Jimmy Butler, at least in the postseason, not regular season numbers, but at least in the postseason. Even though Bam Adebayo stepped up and did what he did, Tyler Hero, for example, he's the reigning sixth man of the year. He's been struggling miserably in this series. Can't hit anything. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he's got to step up. I think so. I think when you look at Butler and what you get from Struss and Butler, that's obviously something I think that when you're talking about all the parts around those guys, I get where you're coming from. I'm just talking, I think that Boston's got two guys in Tatum and Brown, and Miami only has one, and that's why I don't consider them necessarily a mirror image of one another.
Don't you think, we talked a little bit about this, you know, after the Nets series and some during the Bucks series when Giannis had a couple inefficient nights.
Sure.
Don't you think Hero's struggles says more about the Celtics' defense and why their defense is so good
that's
in the playoffs?
That's the thing. See, that's the difference between me and you. Let me tell you what the difference is between me and you. You're absolutely right. I'm not saying
that
you're absolutely right.
Okay.
But I don't care. Like, in other words, what I mean by that is this. J.J. Redick, you could go up against a team, and you know what? They really know how to key on three-point shooters. Damn it, I still expect you to make those three-point shots.
That's fair.
That's all I'm saying. So, in other words, of course there's an impediment to everybody's success. There's always a roadblock. This is the NBA we're talking about here. This is the greatest basketball league in the world. I fully understand that there are people that are playing the role of deterrent when it comes to Tyler Hero's production. I'm saying, ain't you the sixth man of the year? This is what I expect from you. The same thing you get, the same thing that you did that had people talking about you like you were an all-star, the same thing that won you the sixth man of the year award. I expect that, dude. That's what we talk. When we prognosticate, to use your word.
That's more than fair.
When we prognosticate, that's what we're looking at. What we're saying is, we understand, but this is who you are. So if this is who you are, don't wait until the postseason to not be that person. That's all.
That's fair.
That's all.
That's fair. And as someone,
and I'm very fair.
As someone who lived it 14 seasons in the NBA, that's fair.
That's right.
There are some series where I would be like, not my series. Not my series. Not a good matchup for me.
Yeah. Right.
On the mirror image point, I just want to clarify. I mean more about how those teams defend.
Okay.
That's specifically what I was talking about.
Gotcha.
As it relates to the Warriors. And the other thing, I know you said there's a drop-off. But I think you're underestimating just how valuable Bam is in the playoffs, and specifically against a team like the Warriors, because as we talked about in the first hour, they have absolutely killed the Mavs every time they have doubled Steph. You don't have to do that if you're the Miami Heat. You can switch. You can hedge.
Right.
You can play drop coverage at times. Bam can do it all. He's really the only five-man in the league who's capable of going for 19 and 10 as he averaged in the regular season and playing every coverage on defense.
I get you. But that Bam Adebayo didn't show up in games 1 and 2. And even though he exploded in game 3, it was assisted by the absence of Jimmy Butler in the second half, even though he had a strong first half. I'm simply saying, based on what we've seen, you look at Jimmy Butler compared to everybody else in the postseason. It's Jimmy Butler and it's everybody else. I know what Bam can do. Are you going to do it? We'll see.
Right, game 4 tomorrow. You know who knows how to show up in the postseason? That's Charles Barkley. You see how he showed up in Dallas? That's what you should have done when we were out there for the Cowboys.
I didn't need to do that.
He had you beat on that.
He didn't. No, he doesn't.
When we come home, he absolutely had you beat. He went on a horse.
He could barely. They had to help him get off the horse. Did you see that?
Oh, it was great.
They had to help him get off of it.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Woj with the latest on the Lake Show. University of Michigan coach Juwan Howard recently declined interest in the Lakers head coaching job, electing to remain at his alma mater, where Howard will coach his two sons next season, sources telling ESPN. By the way, that's so cool. The Lakers have a finalist of candidates here. Milwaukee Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and former Portland Trail Blazers coach Terry Stotts. That also according to Woj. The Lakers are expected to conduct in-person interviews in the near future. They never made a formal offer to Howard, but it's clear that if he had clear interest in the job, his candidacy would have moved quickly to that stage. Stephen A.,
yep.
Do you like any of these candidates for the Lakers job?
No, I do not. But it has nothing to do with any of them. All of them deserve to be head coaches in the NBA. I have a problem with them being a Lakers head coach. In the case of Atkinson and Stotts, I don't think that they would resonate well enough with the players. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that in the case of Atkinson, he was known as a developmental guy, a guy that really built up players and really was building something in Brooklyn before they let him go. In the case of Stotts, he had 9 years in the NBA in Portland as a head coach. They got to the conference finals once, I believe, and you didn't hear anybody raving about him at all. Not to say that he doesn't know his X's and O's, but again, to me, when you're that head coach, you got to be a leader of men. You got to be somebody that's capable of galvanizing the troops and getting ready and being able to peel max effort out of them. I don't like that for the Lakers. In the case of Darvin Ham, I believe in this brother. I believe he's ready. I believe he's prepared. I think that he'll do a hell of a job. I was listening to Doris Burke this morning with Keyshawn Max and Jay Will, and she was saying as much, and I completely concur with her, along with Jalen Rose, who spoke up highly about Darvin Ham. And I know Darvin Ham myself, and I think that, you know, he has the potential to be a great head coach in the NBA in the very near future. But I have my questions about the Lakers and what they will do when it comes to a coach. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt because we all know how I feel about Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka. You got some making up to do because of some of the choices that you've made over the last couple of years or so. It's got to be a coach with cachet. You can't tell the coach when to play players. You can't tell them whether or not they can sit a player down or anything like that. It's got to be a coach that has some degree of cachet. If they have the cachet, then that's different. I don't see them giving that to a first-year coach like Darvin Ham. And that's why I'm reticent about him. I have no questions about his capabilities as a coach in terms of knowing what he's doing. And when he goes up in there, he'll have a game plan and he'll try to execute it, et cetera, et cetera. But are you, as an organization, really going to hand the reins to a guy in his first time ever being a head coach and coaching the Lakers? I'm just suspect about that. I think it needs to be an experienced coach with cachet that you can't push around.
But who is that candidate right now?
Me personally, I would think Doc Rivers or Mark Jackson.
Okay.
Or Jeff Van Gundy. And I know Jeff Van Gundy probably wouldn't take that headache. Jeff Van Gundy is living a very good life. And, you know, he's like, I ain't got time for no headaches. That's what he strikes me as doing. Yeah. Doc Rivers loves L.A. If he wasn't in Philadelphia, obviously Philadelphia kept him. So they want compensation for his services. And I don't know if the Lakers have that to give. And in the case of Mark Jackson, I think this is a guy that there is no I don't give a damn what people are saying. There is no excuse for a guy who did the job in Golden State that he did to not have one single head coaching job offer since he's departed from Golden State. I think that's incredibly inexcusable and alarming.
I agree with that, the point about Mark Jackson. He definitely deserves another head coaching job. And we talk all the time with players about fit and how fit matters. And I think this is an example in the coaching ranks about how fit does matter. And to that point as well, timing matters. Like, I don't think this was the right time for Juwan Howard. He's getting to coach his sons. He's at his alma mater. He's going to have his choice of head coaching jobs in the NBA should he go down that route at any point in time. But you've got to choose the right one. It's got to be the right timing and the right fit. And on your points about Terry Stotts, who I think was one of the most underrated coaches during his tenure with the Trailblazers, consistently got that team to overachieve, consistently got that team to the playoffs. Kenny Atkinson did a great job building the culture there. Probably wasn't a great fit with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So that's probably not going to be a great fit with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. You know, you have to be able to deal with big egos and star players. If it's not going to be Mark Jackson, to me, like, I like the idea of hiring Darvin Ham. Number one, he's played in the NBA. There's a cachet that comes with that. He's been part of developing players in Milwaukee. He's been part of championship teams in Milwaukee. He has a great experience doing that. And he's got a personality. I think you need a personality if you are going to coach star players. Mm-hmm. The other point I wanted to make, you know, just about the Lakers, if you're a coach looking at this job, like, there are short-term concerns and there are long-term concerns. The short term, of course, is like, how do you build a competent roster around those three guys? How do you figure out how to use Russ and get him to play to his strengths? How do you, look at LeBron potentially at some point having decline? and not really having any young players. This is the long-term part. Not really having any young players that on the roster right now that you can develop into star players. You don't. There's not necessarily a Jordan Poole on that roster or a Kawhi Leonard when he was a young player for the Spurs, and you don't have draft picks. And so, for me, it just is not a desirable job. Like, I look at it that if I'm a coach, and coaches want to coach. Like, coaches are addicted to coaching. I get why people want the job, but it's not a desirable job.
Well, let me say this to you. You've said that on numerous occasions. And I'm not trying to say that I definitively disagree, but let's understand something here. If you said to me, I'm going to get the same LeBron, because LeBron isn't the athletic demon that he once was years ago, but the man is such a brilliant basketball player, he'll find a way to give you his 25 to 30 on average per night, okay? Really, Russell Westbrook is problematic because he doesn't fit with this particular roster. But in the end, we have to start asking ourselves a question. And again, none of us are doctors or anything like that. And all we can go by is what we've seen in terms of the durability of Anthony Davis. If I'm a coach, why shouldn't I believe, J.J. Redick, that if I have LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy, then I'm a playoff team? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't I believe that? Because I believe that if Anthony Davis is healthy, and I know that's asking a lot, please don't get me wrong, I know this. But if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy, I'm in the playoffs. And if I got LeBron James in the playoffs, who knows what I could pull off because of how brilliant of a basketball player that man is. If I'm a coach, what's wrong with that?
It's a great question. I'm glad you brought this up. First time I was ever on First Take, we talked about the Lakers. Keyshawn was here. We were off air, and I posed the question to you guys. Where do you see the ceiling? Yeah. I don't know if you remember asking.
Yeah,
you see them being a 3 or 4 seed this season. I'm talking about this season.
Right.
And I said, I think they're going to be in the play-in game. Now, obviously, because of the injuries to LeBron and Anthony Davis, they couldn't even get in the play-in game. And I'm looking at the Western Conference next year. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a rising Mavs franchise. I'm looking at a rising Memphis Grizzlies franchise. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors, the L.A. Clippers, if healthy, Denver, if healthy, the Suns, the number one seed who won 64 games. A rising Minnesota team.
All
like, what's
teams.
The ceiling for the Lakers with this roster, building around this roster, all the challenges inherent with having 3 max players and no young players? Like, what's the ceiling for this roster? Is it a 6 seed? There's nothing wrong with getting in the playoffs.
To me, I would tell you the ceiling is a 5th seed. I would tell you the ceiling is a 5th seed. But I would say this, and this is the part that I think that we're missing. When we watched the Los Angeles Lakers last year, what we had was a situation was where the parts just didn't fit. LeBron James vouched for Russell Westbrook, pushed for him to arrive in Los Angeles, was somewhat deferential to him on far too many occasions in terms of having the ball in his hands, putting him in the decision-making position.
Russell Westbrook. Russ was deferential.
I thought LeBron at times was as well because he supported him being there is what I'm saying. And you saw, even though LeBron ended up averaging 30 and LeBron was doing his thing, the reality of the situation is that the parts didn't fit and there was a lot of confusion. I don't think that happens this upcoming season. I think everybody knows who they are. And I think as a result, you're going to see LeBron James take the bull by the horn with more definitiveness than last season. And the real question for me is whether or not Anthony Davis is going to be healthy. We can't bank on that, and we understand that. That's why the market for him isn't that strong, because everybody knows that when healthy, this guy's a top 7 talent in the NBA. But unfortunately, when you look at him, you're wondering, constantly wondering whether or not he's going to be available. That's really the issue. Outside of that, it's really about the fact that Russell Westbrook is not a match. How are you going to deal with that? I think as long as you got LeBron and AD, you've got the potential to make some noise if you could count on them both being
last
healthy.
Word here, JJ, then let's get a break.
I've said this throughout the playoffs. The value of having big wings that can play both sides of the basketball. LeBron obviously is one of that when he's engaged defensively. Those guys are more valuable than ever in the NBA. I don't see any of those guys. They traded those guys away. They didn't bring back Caruso. Like, I don't see any way they get those guys on their team, and that's how you win in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know what I hate, JJ? Top-heavy rosters. There's a roster-building
problem.
I didn't say that word in the association right now, and, you know, it just really irks me. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. Yep. So it's tough.
It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it, and it's despicable. You coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for them with opportunities.
Coach back behind
don't
the lines.
Be associated with it.
Okay. Hi, Dan. Good to see you, sir. Clearly a lot to unpack here.
What's
so meanwhile,
up?
Jimbo Fisher doubled down on his defense of Texas A&M recruiting in an interview with San Antonio, Texas TV station, saying just one of the 11 early enrollees in the Aggies' number one recruiting class has an NIL deal. And JJ still here with us as well. Stephen A., does Nick Saban have a point?
Well, I think he has a point. But let me say this. He was wrong to call out Jimbo Fisher and Deion Sanders at Jackson State. He's wrong to do that. He should never have done that. And he needed to apologize. And I totally agree with Primetime in terms of if you're going to say something publicly, then, you know, make the call and apologize or do whatever you're going to do publicly as opposed to calling them for a one-on-one conversation after you threw your name, after you threw their names out there for public consumption. So I think Nick Saban was wrong about that. But I think there's a bigger picture here that people are ignoring. And I don't know whether this is right or not, which is why I wanted JJ and Dan in on this subject here. I have no clue. I haven't really looked into this at all. You got name, image, and likeness. Clearly, I have felt over the years that players were getting screwed over, and there needed to be some level of compensation that was thrown in the direction of college athletes because college programs were getting over, you know, by a mile in terms of that, and I thought that needed to be addressed. However, when you listen to college coaches talk about this subject now, what they're telling me, guys, is this. You have agents involved since they're now allowed to have agents. And what you were supposed to do was go outside the corridors of the football program and to use your name, image, and likeness to monetize your brand, per se, for lack of a better phrase, to go out there and to make money for yourself, you know, with via promotion, marketing, et cetera, with various businesses that might support a program. And instead, what you're seeing is agents approaching programs, telling programs you need to take care of this player on this level, because if you don't, then we got this other program for him to come to. And that essentially programs are being extorted. Now, you got a lot of people don't want to hear that from any kind of college football program, considering the money that they've made off of these athletes and the monies that athletes have been deprived of making all of these decades. However, my question to both of you is, if that is indeed the case, which sounds like that's what it is coming from Nick Saban, Nick Saban doesn't seem to me to be somebody focused on a program, which is why it was so egregious for him to mention program. It seemed to me like he has a problem with the NIL issue and how it's compromised college programs. And if it's compromised college programs, guys, I'm just deducing from a logical perspective. I'm just deducing that Nick Saban is saying what he said because other programs are not speaking out about the NIL effect on college football in the manner
sure.
that he deems necessary. That's what I peeled from it. The floor is y'all's.
Yeah, Stephen A., I agree with a lot of what you said. I think the final point is the big one. What Nick Saban said, there's a lot of truth to it. The reality is the NIL has decreased his advantage a little bit. In recruiting, now when he goes at A&M and goes at Deion Sanders and Jimbo Fisher and says that they bought players, he is minimizing them and their ability to do their job as good as he does. Right? He's minimizing their ability to go out and recruit. And that's where, you know, I think he crossed the line. Nick Saban has always had an advantage when it comes to recruiting. When it comes to three things. One, sitting in a living room and talking to recruits, mom and dad and their family, and them sitting there going, the discipline and the habits that he is going to force my son to kind of adapt to with his life is going to be good for him. Number two, the Bama brand. The Bama brand and the ability to win a national championship. And then three, can you get or help my son get to the NFL? There's not a lot of schools that really encapsulate those three big things in recruiting. So he's always had an advantage when it came to like the elite level players, right? Now with the NIL, that changes the game a little bit because I have friends who are high level recruits in college football right now. Their sons are, excuse me. My friends' sons are high level recruits. I promise you, they have had conversations and sometimes the recruit goes, how much are you gonna pay me? And then can I get this other school to try and offer it? Now, NIL does not mean that kids can just get paid, to my knowledge. You can't just say this company is going to pay this player. It has to be, you know, through their name, image, and likeness, compensated per the market, right? And so I think that when Nick Saban is kind of having a conversation through the media to some of the boosters within or backing of the Alabama program as well. Hey, guys, we weren't number one this year. Someone else was. They obviously used it to their advantage better than we did, and we're going to have to continue to adjust if we think that we're going to stay at the top. But I do think that there's truth at the under or the foundation of what he said.
This, to me, across college football and high-level college basketball, comes down to a simple thing, and that's just control. For decades, coaches, athletic departments, conferences, the NCAA has had control. And it's why they've been so unwilling to change the system. For decades, college football and high-level college basketball has not been an amateur sport. And so now, instead of coming up with an equitable solution for the top athletes at the top schools, the NCAA, conferences, and schools basically kicked the can and opened up the wild, wild west. And that's where we are right now. It's why a number of coaches Correct. Have retired, if I'm being honest. It's why a number of coaches have retired. It's why Dabo Correct. Sweeney has spoken out so vehemently against NIL. And it's why Nick Saban has a real problem here. It comes down to control. They've been in control for so long, and now the athlete has a little bit of control, which in professional sports we've had for a long time. But now that college athletes are getting to actually use their name, image, and likeness to create a marketplace, they have a real issue with that. It comes down to that. It's that simple. It's just a matter of, oh, we've lost a little bit of control over the situation, and now they're acting out.
J.J. Redick, I don't disagree with you, but it doesn't address what instigated this conversation. What instigated the conversation was Saban's willingness to call out specific programs. And so what I'm saying to you is that, listen, over the last 13 years or so, I believe he's had the number one recruiting class 9 times. This Right. year, he's got the number two recruiting class. He's got 7 national championships on his resume. I think he's about 69 or 70 years of age. He can retire right now, and he's number one on the Mount Rushmore of college football, okay? He doesn't need this. And so for me, as wrong as he was to name names and to name programs, and by the way, inaccurate according to what Jimbo Fisher just highlighted, only one of his players has an NIL deal out of the 11 new guys that have arrived.
He said they bought every player.
And he said they bought every player. Let's understand he was inaccurate. It was wrong and it was egregious for Nick Saban to say that about Jimbo Fisher and the Texas A&M program and primetime Deion Sanders in the Jackson State program. The point, however, that I want addressed by you guys is for him to say this and for other college coaches to say they're being extorted. I know you're talking about control, JJ, and I get that part. But to me, why would Nick Saban mention another program? Could it be because he feels that they're not as, you know, vehemently against what's transpiring as he would like? What's the explanation, guys? That's what I'm looking for, because I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Look, there's going to be regulations at some point. Right now we're in the opening innings of this. I do believe the NCAA and the conferences and the schools will figure out a way to make the NIL stuff more regulated. Let's go back to prior to NIL and say, let's come up with an equitable solution. If you are a player at Alabama or you are a Duke basketball player, let's come up with an equitable solution, because these programs are making a lot of money. They're appearing on television. There's numerous conferences now that have their own television deals. The problem is that coaches' salaries have continued to rise. Athletic departments have continued to grow. Athletic department salaries have continued to grow. They've just been unwilling to share the pot. So there was probably some other solution to this. I'm not smart enough to get to that. So this is basically the NCAA saying, you know what, you guys handle it. We're going to do NIL. Let's let the players just have at it. And we're seeing the effects of that. In terms of extortion, Stephen A., extorted for what, money? Well-earned money?
I don't know.
Like money that they deserve? I don't have what's the issue here?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think it's two things that are, again, Nick Saban, there's only a handful of programs in college football that have so many bullet points or so many boxes checked that they have a distinct advantage in comparison to everybody else. Alabama sits at the very top of that list. Ohio State is one. USC is one. Clemson has become one. Miami used to be one. When those coaches used to walk into your school, as JJ, you know it, as a basketball, when Duke walked in, it was different than I'm sure other schools walked in, because it was Duke. And now this has given a lot more people, the NIL has given a lot more of the programs the seat at the table to have the opportunity to get these recruits. I also think, let's be honest, I agree wholeheartedly, JJ, that for a long time, athletes have deserved some form of payment because of the generated revenue that they're getting. It's also, as we know, a very different world and dangerous world when 18, 19, 20-year-old kids have access to that much money and living in a college atmosphere. And I think Coach Saban is hinting towards that as well.
Let me close this out by saying this. We all know that you've had predominantly white institutions, particularly in college football. They've been making money hands over foot over the last few decades at the hands of a vast majority of African-American athletes. And now that is changing. Because if you have an opportunity to dictate your own future, where you go, and to profit off of your name, image, and likeness, that goes back to what you're saying, JJ, in terms of the diminished level of control that these programs are having now that they didn't have to deal with in
the
past.
We have to get in a break.
That's inescapable.
This will to be continued, because there's more to get into.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Breaking news into First Take this morning. Game four tonight in Boston. The Heat up 2-1. Tyler Herro will not be able to go. He's dealing with a groin injury. JJ Redick, what does this mean for the Heat?
Well, it doesn't change my pick for tonight because I had picked the Celtics to win, but I don't know that this is as damaging for the Heat as it looks on the surface. Mm-hmm. Although Victor Oladipo didn't have great counting stats in Game 3, I thought he was spectacular. His defense was off the charts, four steals. Three of those were just straight pickpockets, one-on-one defense. He also had a big game in the closeout game of round one against Atlanta. So we know he's more than capable of scoring and picking up the slack there. And as Stephen A. mentioned, Tyler Herro has struggled in this series.
I totally agree with you. I mean, listen, I got the Celtics winning tonight anyway. I think they've got to win tonight. I don't think they're coming back from a 3-1 deficit against the Miami Heat. Tyler Herro being out obviously facilitates that happening with a degree of ease. Even though he's been struggling, he's still a threat. So that's not something that you really, really want to deal with. So him being out, I definitely think hurts the Heat, and Jimmy Butler clearly is not going to be 100%.
Yeah.
The disappointment I have right now with the amount of injuries,
yeah.
I mean, as a fan of the game, you just want two teams to be at full strength, mm-hmm. two teams that are heavyweights and go head-to-head. It was the same issue we dealt with in the Boston-Milwaukee series. Like, I wanted Chris Middleton out there. I want to see, you know, one team at their best versus another team at their best.
Do you think it's more than normal? You're saying the injuries are more than normal of late?
It has felt like the last three or four seasons in the NBA, really starting in 2019 in that finals run, or even before that when Kevin Durant hurt his calf prior to the Achilles injury, it has felt like the last four seasons we've just had an enormity of injuries by key players in the playoffs.
I don't even understand. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's just amazing to me when you see some of these things that people have been going through throughout history and what they've played through, and somehow, some way, I'm not knocking any players. If you're injured, you're injured. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's been an alarming number of injuries in the postseason over the last few years.
You still have Boston winning it all. Yes. You?
Not winning it all.
No, sorry. Going east, I know we all know the Warriors. Everyone knows the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still sticking with Boston?
I'm still sticking with Boston.
Oh, you feeling confident about that?
No, I just. I just, again, it goes back to I have been praising the Miami Heat for 2 years, and the second I go against them on an unbiased judgment call, like this is what I have to do. It's just now I'm not in the Heat lifer club anymore. So
that's right.
Whatever. Disappointing.
I got you.
It's disappointing.
Oh, well. It is what it is.
Stephen A. can tell you what it's like to be exiled from different clubs for making picks, right?
Yes.
It's no big thing. We all can. Get used to First Take and ESPN. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Stephen A., safe travels. We'll be watching you tonight. Game 4 on ESPN tonight. No, ABC, 8:30 Eastern.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.